Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Oxventure D&D podcast. It's a D&D podcast that has some official taglines. Mike, we need an official tagline from you today, right now, on the spot. Go.
Oh, man. Dice to meet you.
Ooh. Yeah, good. Good. Dice to meet you. Okay.
you don't sound convinced.
It's basically
dice
fine.
Dice does rhyme with a lot of things. That opens up a whole world of opportunities.
I don't think that's bad for literally on the spot.
Yes.
I had no prep whatsoever.
I'm Jane Douglas. I play Prudence the Tiefling Warlock. And that's all I got.
Yeah, I'm Andy Farron. I play Corazon de Baena, the Human Pirate Rogue.
And I'm Mike Channel. I play Egbert, the Clumsy Dragonborn Paladin.
What's going on today? What are we even doing? It's Exhibition Impossible Part 3, the finale.
Mm. Yes.
The thrilling ultimate chapter. Yeah. It's a good one. I really like this. I refreshed my memory just before we started recording, and it is one hell of a finale. The other parts of this session are like an hour long, and this one is half an hour, and I think it all happens in the last half hour.
It really kicks off.
Well, we won't get into spoilers. That's to come at the end, folks, so stick around, and we'll catch you at the end to talk about spoilers. But yeah, there'll be a lot to talk about, because a lot happens. Some of it horrifying.
Brand new character introduced, sort of. Somewhat
brand
new
that
character. So look forward to that. Let's talk about what we've been playing recently. What have people been playing recently?
I've been playing a couple of things. I was playing a very good mobile game called There Is No Game.
Right.
Which I heartily recommend. It's a very meta game. So you load up the game and it's like, sorry for the confusion. This isn't actually a game. So please just close the game and go away. But if you sort of click around on it, you can sort of force the game to start, and the game is very not up for being played. And then you have to sort of find ways to get gameplay out of it. And then it loads up an actual game, which is like a LucasArts point-and-click adventure game, but it's all sort of, you can turn the screen around and see the whole set from the back, and you have to sort of manipulate. It's very clever, very funny. And as you sort of play, you uncover the story that's going on in the background. It's this sort of epic tale of lost love. It's completely unique. It's not like anything else I've ever played, but I would recommend it. It's really good fun and very funny.
That's incredible. What is? Does it have the kind of pixel art style of a LucasArts adventure?
So it changes. Like, there's one level which looks a lot like the sort of SNES Zelda games. But the LucasArts adventure one, I think it's based heavily off the Day of the Tentacle art style. So it looks kind of like Day of the Tentacle, has some really Day of the Tentacle-esque animations in it. But yeah, then it becomes like a Zelda game, then it becomes like a rhythm action game. It's incredible.
That's awesome. I'll definitely try it out. It reminded me, the stuff about it not wanting to be played reminded me a bit of, do you remember that old, was it called like the Impossible Quiz or something? And it was like every single question was like a trick question or like a obfuscating answer.
There is a lot of that, yeah.
That's really cool.
There's a puzzle early on where you need a cog to turn something, and there aren't any cogs, and you have to go into like the settings icon is a cog.
Oh,
you have to sort of pull the setting icon off.
That's really cool.
Yeah,
that's very cool.
It's that kind of stuff. You've been playing it as well, right, Jane?
I have. Yeah. I don't think I've gotten as far as you.
Spoilers.
But it's very enjoyable. I've been playing it on my phone. And anything that I can play while sitting on the sofa, watching Netflix with one other eye, is my game right now, which is why I've gone back to playing Hades as well.
Getting a minimized experience from both the things you're doing at the same time.
I saw someone tweet earlier in one of the lockdowns, like, I finished work for today, and now I can stop looking at the medium-sized screen and go and look at the small screen while also watching the big screen. Yeah. So I'm going to scroll on my little screen, or like play Hades on my little screen while also, you know, streaming something from Netflix on my big screen.
As a treat.
My experience. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
The other thing I've been playing is a game called Call of the Sea, which is on Game Pass, and it's a first-person puzzle game. You play, it's set in like the 1930s, I think, early 1930s, and you play as this woman whose husband went missing on an expedition to Tahiti to try and find medicine to cure your affliction, which is a sort of vaguely described illness that you have. So yeah, and you travel to Tahiti to try and find his expedition, and it sort of, it all gets, starts to get a bit Lovecraftian after that. So yeah, I've been playing that as well. It's on Game Pass, so I thought I'd give it a go. And in terms of like first person puzzlers, it's good. It's got a good atmosphere. The art style's nice. Yeah, and it's got that Lovecraftian twist as well, which is cool. Nice.
Yeah, you don't call your game Call of the Sea without it turning into a Lovecraft thing.
Right,
it's,
exactly.
It's the lore.
I haven't seen any fishmen yet, but there is unworldly whispering and sort of odd black goo. So you know, it's starting to ramp up.
I finished that Call of Cthulhu game they made a while ago. It was like a Christmas game for me.
like it was very heavily Christmas.
No, that would have been amazing. Yeah. It has its own religious overtones, I suppose. But yeah, I really like. Obviously, Lovecraft himself was a bit of a strange,
terrible
person.
Racist.
Yeah, that's basically that. But I do have a hankering for a really good Lovecraft game, and I've not tried it yet. But there was a sort of Arkham horror based game released recently that I'd really like to have a look at on the Xbox, because Arkham Horror is an amazing board game, but it is extremely complicated, and we played it for like 7 hours or something. And I'm convinced we got to the end of it and we beat the kind of old one thing, but I'm convinced that we were probably playing it wrong, because
almost
there are
certainly
so many different rules. And it's one of those board games that's so complex. It's like when you do something and it happens easily or happens well, you wonder whether you've just missed a rule that should have made it much more difficult. Basically.
Probably, yeah.
So I'm looking forward to an Arkham horror game that takes a lot of that, has a lot of that experience, but like takes away a lot of the uncertainty over whether you've read
it. Runs
the
game for
properly.
You, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That. So I guess I'll go and play that and report my findings.
So what brought you back into Hades, Jane? Just the fact that it's on the Switch? Or because you've already finished it, right?
Yeah.
You just wanted to finish it again? Because when you do finish Hades for the first time, it does set up sort of intrigue. You're like, oh, I wonder what will happen if I finish it a second time.
Yeah. I didn't really feel like I had finished it when I finished it, in the sense that I defeated the end boss. Yeah. So I wanted to go back in and, you know, do up the underworld, put up some nice curtains and some settees.
I do love that it becomes like a home management sim.
Yeah, dating
that.
Sim, home
dating
management,
sim,
interior
design. It's all these other
game.
Things.
Yeah. So
you need to get on Hades, Mike. It's brilliant.
Yeah, I'll get around to it at some point. It's on the list. There's a lot of other stuff like Valheim that's supposed to be really good. And yeah, it's just finding the time.
Andy and I played Among Us yesterday. You can see it on the channel. In fact, you can see it on multiple channels, because we played it with Outside Extra and Eurogamer and Dicebreaker. And you can see the stream from all four perspectives. It was fairly chaotic. Mike, you'll enjoy Proximity Chat, I think, is the new spice.
The new hotness.
The new sauce.
Yeah.
Mm.
How was the new map as well? Was that good?
Huge, complicated.
Oh, I
fancy
it,
though. I like the vibe. I like it's sort of like a fancy heisting cruise sky fortress.
Steampunk blimp.
Nice.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah, yeah. And now when you get jettisoned, you just sort of fall to your death instead of, you know, the vacuum of space.
Yeah. But proximity chat is great, especially for when we're streaming, because it means you can actually hear other people. You can have little conversations, and it's an extra layer of subterfuge.
Yeah, does it not just mean you end up lied to constantly by people you're hanging
out
with?
Yeah, you've got to stay on your toes.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
There was also, I was able to avoid getting murdered by Jane, because she was doing some very, hey Andy, come here for a second, I just want to show you something.
Yeah, that was my adjustment phase.
Yeah.
Hey Andy, I'm the murderer. Hey.
Yeah. Well, you've got, if you are the murderer and also streaming, then you've got to find a balance between entertaining people who are watching at home.
That's true.
And not giving yourself away to the person you're trying to murder, which is Andy always.
Yeah.
So, yep.
I did watch a bit of Ian from Eurogamer afterwards, and he was singing a song about killing Ellen after he'd killed Ellen and sort of running around. And if anyone had been near, they would have been able to hear it, but I don't think anyone did.
See, that's dicey. It is dicey to show your hand. You sort of have to be acting the entire time.
Mm.
While winking at the camera for the folks at home,
I suppose. Does it with such ease. It's terrifying.
Could that level of deception be introduced to D&D if one of the players had an agreement with the GM that they were trying to sabotage things.
Wow. It's like that role in Werewolf where the person who's working with the werewolves.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. I wonder whether
one of us could talk to Johnny about this entire time I've been a plant.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I'm Liliana in disguise.
Yeah. Let's do some retcons.
That'd be cool. I think there is a mod for Among Us where one of the players has a role where their job is to try and get ejected. And if they do, they win.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so it's like trying to convince the others that you're the Mungus.
What's the story, though? What's the fictional layer for that? Why would it benefit you? Maybe why would your goal be to be jettisoned?
Maybe you're part of a religious cult whose aim is to be ejected from an airship.
Yeah, who worships the cold vacuum of space.
Yeah.
You can always huck yourself out an airlock.
It doesn't count.
It needs to be ceremonial.
Okay, fine.
Maybe after, for example, Luke was ejected from the airship yesterday, Luke's followers then set up a cult where their goal was to be ejected from an airship like their hero Luke.
Maybe you've got an alien parasite inside you that wants to be launched into space but doesn't know how to operate an airlock.
Okay, yep, this works.
And you have to use the remaining shreds of your human intelligence to persuade people to jettison.
You're an escape pod for this alien. So you're their main means of conveyance.
You've got the wherewithal to do social deception, but not to figure out the instructions for the airlock. Yeah. Okay.
Maybe the airlock needs two hands to press it.
Oh, yeah. For safety. Yeah. For safety, it can't just be one person. Yeah, exactly. In case someone gets space fever.
This is all gold. I hope that the developers of Among Us are listening for their next
almost the narrative. Yeah. The narrative layer is the most important part.
Yeah, of course it is. It's the plot.
Endless riches, endless new depths to Among Us every day. What I want to know is how many Easter eggs have you consumed and how many do you have left?
Zero Easter eggs, and I have zero. Eggs this year.
What? They were really hard to get in the shops, actually, here in the UK.
They sold out pretty quickly.
I don't think there were fewer Easter eggs. I think, if anything, there were more Easter eggs, but everyone was so bored and locked down.
They wanted to have eight each.
What else can I do except an Easter egg hunt and eat all the Easter eggs?
Do mini eggs count? No.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. But you need to do more about 100 mini eggs is one egg.
Right.
You need to do more to mark holidays now because you can't go out and do holiday things. Yeah. So having an Easter egg at home means that you actually mark the fact that it's Easter.
So how many did you eat and or have left?
You know exactly.
It to the podcast.
All right, fine. I had a very nice Lindor egg, but it was dark chocolate because that was all that was left. They didn't have the milk one.
Okay.
Do you count your Malteser bunnies as eggs, Jane?
I had Malteser bunnies. They're sort of egg-like. They're in the spirit of it, aren't they?
Okay.
I had an Aero one and a honeycomb dark chocolate one.
Honeycomb dark chocolate sounds
And
good.
I still got some of those Lindor orbs, the chocolate orbs.
The orbs. You've still got orbs left?
In the fridge, yeah.
What?
Yeah. Wait, I've still got chocolate
What
orbs.
Size orbs are we talking?
The Lindor orbs.
Right.
Yeah.
But if we're counting those, we're definitely counting mini eggs, right?
No, they don't count as an individual egg.
What I had was little chocolate nests made from cornflakes covered in chocolate. Aww. With little mini eggs in. That's
homemade
what I had.
With love.
Yeah,
I
exactly.
Assume.
Yeah. So that was my Easter treat. And then I like to mark holidays by sitting on the sofa and doing some big sighing. That's how I mark. That's how I mark the big occasions.
Exercises.
Yeah, I did a lot of that at Christmas. Did a lot of it over the Easter long weekend. Looking forward to the Maybank holiday weekend here in the UK. I'm going to sit on the sofa and do some big sighing then.
We get two bank holidays in May.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
Sorry, American listeners, but we are absolutely awash with bank holidays right now. And then we have none until the end of the summer.
Yeah, they're not evenly distributed, are they, basically?
No, I'm not complaining. I had a recovered memory over Easter that we didn't have a lot of Easter traditions when I was a kid, but I do remember one time going to the top of a hill, a really high, steep hill. And rolling eggs down it. Did anyone else do that? Or was that just my weird family?
No, egg rolling was a thing.
I've heard of cheese rolling.
I was explaining
rolling,
it. And then, it was but what did you do? And then what?
Well, then you went and picked it up.
And then what?
And then you'd rolled it down a hill again.
And then what? Andy?
Until the afternoon had passed. There was no IMAX Kong versus Godzilla back then.
Did they
this
not
is
have
what you had
competitive
to do.
Sports where you grew up?
I wasn't very sporty. It was just me rolling eggs down hills for some reason. Fine. Yeah. I think it's mostly that parents have to find lots of things for children to do to just pass the time when they're not at school.
I suppose,
go and get them to do something.
School-age children are off for 2 weeks. That's a nightmare.
If you roll an egg down a hill, that costs you the price of one egg. If you take the kids to see Godzilla versus Kong in IMAX, that's, you know, £400 or something.
Can
probably.
You even see Godzilla versus Kong in IMAX?
Well, no, the cinemas are closed.
I watched it streaming.
As an example.
Right, I see. Sorry, I thought you were trying to segue Easter into activities. Godzilla versus King Kong. Sorry.
No.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, as Easter activities go, rolling an egg down it's. I can tell what about it appealed to my dad, which was the extremely low cost.
The barrier to entry is very low.
Okay, good. How about that Godzilla versus Kong then?
There was so much of that movie that wasn't Godzilla fighting Kong. I feel like I was sold a bill of goods. The whole thing should have just been non-stop SmackDown. Oh, I got it off Amazon. It's on Apple TV.
It's a new movie. It's a brand new movie. And it's actually performed really pretty well because everyone is starved for entertainment.
It costs £15.
You paid £15 to see any Godzilla fighting King Kong.
I wish I could have seen the look on Christopher Nolan's face when it turned out that this was the movie that got everyone, A, back into the theatres in places where theatres are open, and B, made over $400 million at the box office from home rentals.
Wrong.
And he's
but
it's just an ape fighting a lizard. I made Tenet.
And it's barely that.
Yeah.
There's barely any of
Everyone's
that.
Like, sorry, Chris. We wanted to see the big monkey and the lizard.
Big monsters fight.
I saw the last Godzilla movie and that wasn't very good. And I saw Kong movie and it wasn't great. So what?
You're talking about Skull Island?
Yeah, Skull Island. And Godzilla, you know.
Skull Island has the amazing bit where the guy tries to sacrifice himself to kill that monster.
Yeah.
Where he holds out the hand grenades and then the monster just hits him with his tail and he flies off and hits a mountain and explodes.
That was very good. Aesthetically, it was quite pleasing. But I can't remember what happened at the end of that. What happens at the end of Kong Skull Island?
No one remembers.
Exactly.
Kong beats all the bad monsters and then goes back to his house.
Sure.
I went to see Godzilla King of the Monsters with Luke, and if you can ever see a Godzilla movie with Luke, I would recommend that because he is so into Godzilla.
You spend more time just staring at his face, like.
And so into. Well, no, he would just like lean over and go, and of course King Ghidorah would have originally had three heads and be larger than this, but. And then there's a bit where he was like, oh yes, the post-credit scene of the woman singing to Mothra, that's a reference. He's full of Godzilla knowledge.
Have. I suppose that sounds like an enriching experience, but I don't think I'm going to bother paying £15 to watch it at home.
There wasn't even an after-credit sequence.
What did you want?
How am I supposed to know what's happening next in the Warner Brothers Monsterverse?
You want Nick Fury turning up and asking King Kong to join the Avengers?
Yeah, right.
They said it all in the movie.
Unify all entertainment franchises. It's all I ask. So we're on Oxventure D&D hiatus at the moment. We're having a little Oxventure vacation.
Yes.
But it's a working holiday because we're spending all this time thinking, planning, learning what spell slots are. How's that going for you?
I'm not.
I haven't learned what a spell slot is yet.
Okay, no one's done their homework.
I don't know.
I don't use spells really in combat, so...
What about all that grease?
Because I'm not leveling up any of my spells, I've only got level 1 spells anyway, so...
Yeah, it's true. Okay. Egbert tends not to bother with spells as well. He just headbutts things and jumps off things.
I know, but you should learn what spell slots are, because you have a ridiculous back catalogue of amazingly powerful spells that could help in every situation.
I know, but
I've got mostly
all the funny
utility
ones
spells
now
that I use out of combat.
Yeah, I've used all the funny ones now, though, so...
It's not about...
Probably been them.
Soon it's time to listen to Exhibition Impossible Part 3, the finale, and it will take us but 35 minutes. Before that happens, how about a word from the kind people who support this podcast?
Yes, please.
Yes, please.
God, how polite are we?
Andy, do you love party games? Yes,
you
or no?
Know I do, except for Mario Party, because all the A-stars go to other people.
I'm going to put you down for yes. And do you love tabletop role-playing games?
Do I?
Like D&D.
Do I?
Do you?
Do I? I do.
Do you? You
I
do.
Love them, yeah.
So we've agreed you love both tabletop role-playing games and party games.
And almost all party games.
Well, I've got great news for you. The Party RPG is a raucous, fun-filled fantasy quest smashing together tabletop role-playing games and party games. It's an adventure described by Tabletop Gaming Magazine as fabulous fun and the easiest ever.
Energize players with hilarious real-life challenges and break away from being the forever games master by rotating GMs at each location. If you want a brilliantly simple game of epic adventure, check it out at www.thepartyrpg.com.
That's www.thepartyrpg.com. And if you use the code OX10, that's OX10, you will get 10% off. So go and have a look at that. The Party RPG. Say it with me,
okay.
Andy.
The Party RPG. And so the letters RPG in order. Stands for role-playing game.
And thank you very much again.
Yes, thank you.
To those people, please and thank you. Anything else you want to talk about before we roll into the D&D for today, the actual D&D?
No, let's get to the D&D. I like it. I like D&D. I think it's good. I think it's a good thing. I think it brings people together. I think it's a chance to get in touch with the childish joy of play, which I think so few adults do these days. And I think D&D is an important way to get in touch with your inner
child.
Yeah,
not just sporty play. It's like the kind of play you're allowed to do once you're an adult is like sports play.
Exactly.
Competitive play. But make-believe really goes out the window after you're, ooh, I don't know, not very old at all. Make-believe is no longer well, I say it's no longer acceptable. Of course, it's fully acceptable. But it's not common.
Exactly.
Except in that sort of, you know, maybe tabletop RPG.
So many people, they just let it slip out of their lives. And here we are with D&D, which is the perfect structure with which to make believe.
It's sort of like structured communal daydreaming. And I still do a lot of daydreaming. Do you know what I mean? I think that's like solo D&D. Solo D&D is when I sit and think about think about elves for a while. Yeah, you know how you do. But yeah, communal daydreaming with rules and numbers and dice.
Yeah.
Do you think the game would be more popular if it were called Dragons and Dungeons?
No.
You lead with the dragons.
No,
the dungeons aren't the exciting.
Dragons. I think Dungeons and Dragons implies that there are more dungeons and fewer dragons.
Yes.
Because it's like
which
dungeons
are
plenty and some of them may contain dragons. But the other way around, it's like, I don't know, something about the ordering makes me think the first one is plentiful and the second one is rare and special.
It's why they called it Godzilla vs. Kong, though, because Godzilla is the more impressive, cool one. You don't leave with Kong.
Yes, but that's direct opposition. I think there's a degree of chronology to Dungeons & Dragons. You would go through a dungeon and meet
a dragon.
You would never fight a dragon and then go into a dungeon. Yeah.
What if the dungeon was the dragon? What if you got swallowed by a dragon and you had to go around its
insides? Then it would be Dungeons & Dragons, Andy.
Yeah, what about that game? Why isn't that a game?
I mean, it could
Dungeons
be.
And Dragons.
Dungeons and Dragons.
That's gold.
Yeah.
All right. TM.
Can we TM it? Or I think it's probably too approximate to Dungeons.
See you in court, Wizards of the Coast.
Yeah.
I'd like to see you take us down.
All right, fine. Dungeons and Dragons coming soon to a tabletop near you. All right, let's listen to Exhibition Impossible Part 3. It is only 35 minutes long. Let's talk about spoilers when we get back.
So, the three of you are in a room with Panniers and one of the museum curators, and you've just been told that in 3 minutes it is going to flood with acid. And actually, sure enough, you know I mentioned that sort of fun, light playing across water patina thing?
Mm.
You look up and you realise that the ceiling of this room is just a giant tank of acid. Absolutely enormous vat of acid that, that the light has been sort of shining through, and that was what was generating that lovely, lovely light effect.
Absolutely savage.
Oh, no.
But we'll come back to you.
It feels like an odd security system for a museum. Flood the whole thing with acid.
But if I can't enjoy the coin, no one can.
They have one in the British Museum, above the Elgin Marbles.
In case the Greeks try and take them back.
Yeah, no.
Acid melts the marbles.
Egbert, you are still in Dietrich's office.
Enjoy your brandy.
And you're having a nice little brandy. And he comes out and he has like a long wooden box with him.
It comes in a collector's case.
Like, now, I noticed you're a fan of a mace.
Yes.
And there simply wasn't room to put this anywhere. Have a look.
Yeah, pop open the case.
You open it up, and it is a mace that it's oh god, it's gorgeous.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Like it is.
Oh.
Yeah. I just knew Ellen was going to say it if I didn't.
It is this really beautiful dark steel, and it's got like wicked hard like spikes and edges. The handle is kind of it's subtly curved. So as you sort of pick it up and you have to, you're like, oh, this is brilliant.
Beautifully balanced.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Hitting
it's
like, with it.
Now, this mace is so strange. It is cursed.
Wow, okay.
But in a fun way.
Great.
Because if you hit something with this, it's, I'm not exact on this because I didn't use it enough in the field to be certain, but I reckon there's about a 1 in 6 chance that if you hit something with this...
It'll disable an alarm.
Come on.
It'll turn into something else.
Oh. Wow!
So there was one time I hit a brigand and he turned into a chicken.
Wow!
And then I ate him. This has always troubled me. Is this technically cannibalism?
No.
He was a chicken when I killed him.
Well, did he retain the consciousness of the brigand? Was he going around doing brigandy things, but as a chicken?
Oh, I don't know. I hit him again and he dies. So I saw a chicken, like a brigand. And then I bonk.
Hit him with a mace. Indistinguishable from chicken and therefore not cannibalism.
Oh, good.
But again, maybe something to think about over the next 4 years and 3 years.
Yeah, no, that one
comes
up a lot, actually. Yeah. So actually having the mace out of the house will probably help me sort of forgive myself and move past that one. With any luck. Anyway, that's yours. Praise be to Lavash Mauve.
Brilliant, yes, thank you very much. Have all the pamphlets, and I thrust all the pamphlets into his hand.
Oh, thank you so much.
I can get some more printed.
Okay, well, you hear a bang. He's like, oh, pardon me one second. And he goes to a bureau and opens it up, and there's a sort of like wood panel, and it's a little wood panel, like floor print of the whole museum. And one of them is kind of glowing. It's like, oh, that's weird. An alarm's been tripped in the coin exhibit.
Huh. Wow. Wow.
Yeah. There's nothing to worry about.
I hit him on the back of the head with the mace.
Okay, yeah. Roll.
He said it was nothing to worry about.
Make me a strength attack.
Egbert can't hear this.
Oh,
you're looking to beat a 14.
Okay.
You can do this with advantage because you're behind him.
Because he's a weak old man.
Having such a nice time with a nice old man.
Strength 14 plus 4. What does advantage get me as well?
It means his head bursts like a watermelon.
You can roll again and take the best result.
Okay.
But you've already done it.
9, yeah, so.
So roll me a d6.
Okay.
And if you roll a 6, he's going to turn into something.
Come on,
the chicken.
Come on, turn into a dragon.
5!
Oh! Okay, so just roll your damage.
Okay.
You can always hit him again 6 times.
Does this mace do any special damage because it's fancy? Or is it just 1d8 piercing again?
Oh, we'll call it 1d8 plus 1.
Okay.
Yeah, little scamp.
That's a d8, right?
Do you not think... swinging your mace into it.
7 plus 1. Defending
head.
Do you have enough? You're proficient, right? You've got to add your proficiency bonus.
I do have a proficiency bonus of 3. Is that added to my damage?
No, but your strength modifier is.
Plus 4. So that's 8 plus 4 is 12.
Why?
Okay. You are a paladin, so you can attack him again.
Yes, please. I'm really hoping he's going to turn into a chicken.
Yeah. Roll it again. You're looking to beat a 14.
He's already dead.
My heart's really not.
You're proficient with the mace as well, aren't you?
Yes.
So you should be adding 7 to this one.
You hit him twice.
He's an old man.
Well, that's a 4, though. Plus strength of 4 is 8. Plus proficiency bonus
is 11. 11. So you actually miss him.
Oh, dang God for that.
And he spins around. He's like, he falls to the ground. He's like, he's on one knee. And a hand comes away red.
Oh.
He's quite seriously hurt. He's just like,
this is really distressing.
Why did you do this?
Sorry, I
slipped.
Make me a charisma persuasion check.
Oh no.
Sorry,
How
do you explain the second attack?
This is going to have to, well, at least that missed. It's going to have to be quite a good roll.
2.
Plus 3. It's 5.
Yeah. he runs to the wall and he's like, thieves, and he slams a button on the wall.
Is this room going to fill with acid as well?
No, it's not. He draws his rapier. And he's like,
I wonder what the button did.
And he goes, oh God. And we will swing back to you. What are you doing?
Does this include me or am I now like a separate?
You're outside the room. No, so I'll
go! Can you hear me? Through the wall.
Can I hear him through the wall?
Yeah.
Can hear something faintly. Yes,
Corazon. We've got 3 minutes before the room floods with acid.
Sorry.
Ah,
Can you see anything on the outside that is gonna opening the door? We need to get this door open and we
Turn into a bear.
That's not gonna help.
Merylin turns into a bear.
Merylin just panic shifting through animals.
What I'm glad is that you guys are not panicking about this.
Alright, I look at the outside of the door, the big metal door that came down. What's the situation with it?
It is kind of like a drawbridge, not a drawbridge, a portcullis.
Okay.
But it is solid.
All right.
And it's very thick metal.
Okay, all right.
I'm trying very hard to pull the door up with the strength of a bear.
Okay, make me a strength check.
I'm going to help.
Okay.
Okay, roll it as well.
I could cast heat metal, but it's only going to make it glow red hot. So unless you can throw 15. Something into it that's not going to be destroyed or burst into flames.
Quickly, Merylin.
Because I've got the strength of a bear.
You both rolled 15. Okay, you managed to... you pull the door up maybe an inch, 2 inches. 2 inches.
Okay, that's not helping.
Is there anything
that's probably enough for Merylin to turn into a cat and get out. Oh, but she'd have to let go of the door. All right.
Okay, one thing I am going to do is just run across to the coin, smash the glass, take the coin, stow it, because I need to have the coin on me.
Right. Fair.
Okay, all right. I would like to... So, door's here. I'm going into the exhibit next door. I want to find the wall adjacent to where they are.
Yes. All right, good. I love it. I'm going to fiddle with the plates and just start like jamming everything in every direction to see if it does anything.
Dex sleight of hand check, please.
Okay.
Dob, where are you?
19.
I bang on the side of the wall. I've come round to...
Are you adding your dex modifier?
Yes. Sorry. I rolled a 15 and I'm adding my dex modifier of 4.
Oh, so it's a 19 total?
Yeah.
Okay, never mind. You're like, you're tinkering, you're like, what is this thing? It's weird. You're like, suddenly you're like, yeah, maybe I shouldn't be...
Oh, no, wait, I have a sleight of hand...
Proficiency?
Proficiency, yes. So, is that another two?
Tick tock.
21.
Oh.
Man.
Wow, what did you do?
Thank you, tiny tick. Sleight of hand.
I think I've deactivated the egg timer.
Okay. We'll find out.
We'll find out if the room floods with acid.
You hear a voice go, thank you. Acid deactivated.
Cool.
And the door kind of... and you're kind of all standing there. Like, you come face to face with a bear that looks terrified.
Yeah, in her white.
You didn't think bears could look terrified. Oh. This one does. This one's like...
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
First things first, I cast sleep on the curator.
Yeah.
He's going in his cupboard.
Okay. I'm not even going to make you roll for that. He's like, ah.
I'm so sorry.
You're stuffing him in the cupboard.
Yeah.
Okay.
If we're sure this room isn't going to flood with acid.
No.
Yep, cool. All right. He's in the cupboard.
Great. Dob, I need two more spells from you.
Okay.
I need mend on the glass.
Dob is tight. Right, oh, okay, so were we acting
mend
like...
Mend on the glass and press the digitation on the coin.
Because, of course, we don't know what Egbert's done. We think we're going to get away with it. So, all right, so, yeah, so I cast mend on the glass to make it all look lovely. Because we're going to walk out of here, probably.
Job well done.
Looks awesome.
Well, folks, I think we heisted the absolute...
Now to walk out of here in a line. Cool.
I swallow
in
the
slow
coin.
Motion.
ID you bet. Swallow the coin.
Yeah.
Just make me a constitution check.
This is how much indigestion you're going to have.
No, but it's sort of, it's that / don't choke.
18 plus one.
Yeah, it's fine.
Down the hatch.
Again, you're all like, Karazhan's really taking this one seriously. And also, damn, that's a big coin. And he swallowed, he just straight
can
up.
You see it as it goes down.
It did go down in one, he had to like.
I cast grease on my throat.
You might want to cast it on the other end.
Wow.
Corazon swallows a coin. Then you hear a voice come over the tannoy again. It says, "Threat detected. Automaton dispatched."
Automaton?
And sort of a piece of the wall slides back, and there is a really big robot with huge punching fists.
Oh, boy!
And actually, one is a huge punching fist, and one is like a big sort of metal cylinder that sort of got a large hole in it, and it looks quite a lot like a cannon.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
And basically, it's just like, "Thieves detected," and stomps into the room.
Boof, 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 the thing boof, fits the boof. Glass. The coin, it's the real.
I don't know, maybe something else happened. maybe there's just another thief somewhere in this museum.
I mean, it would make
back
sense.
Back in
wouldn't
the
it?
Office of Dietrich, you hear him go, "Your little friends won't be getting out of this one." And I'm going to ask everyone to roll me initiative.
No.
We're going to do all of this on the same initiative order, despite the fact we're in two different rooms.
Okay. Oh, nuts.
So that is.
While that's happening, I'm like, for the record, yeah, you are a cannibal, actually.
Even though
he's a chicken.
He actually looks surprised and hurt.
Yeah, good.
Oh, wait.
That's what I want.
So many things. So complicated. Okay, I rolled a 20, out. By the way.
Nice. I rolled a 14.
Cool. Right. I rolled 22, but not a natural 20.
I rolled 9.
10.
Oh, 14 plus 1 to initiative, so 15, actually.
All right, let's do this, robot. Okay. Eldritch Blast all the way. Yeah. Eldritch Blast for days.
Eldritch Blast all day.
Yes. Okay, so I warm up an Eldritch Blast. I do the, you know, Eldritch hand gestures. And I hit him with a twin beam level 5 Eldritch Blast.
Great.
Well, I'm level 5. Twin beam Eldritch Blast.
Make me a ranged spell attack. You're going to be a 16.
Ooh, dang. Tough. Another 20 please dice. Another 20 please dice. So I rolled a 10. Spell attack bonus 8. 18.
Yeah, nailed it. Great.
Yes!
You have hit it. Do some of that sweet.
All right, okay.
Rolling, please.
I'm double fisting Eldritch Blast now, so it's left hand Eldritch Blast, right hand Eldritch Blast, and it's a crackling beam of twin beam of energies.
It's a nice menu. Eldritch Blast and Eldritch Blast
with a side of Eldritch Blast. So I roll a. It's a 10, isn't it?
Yes.
Right. Roll 10, and then, because it's Agonizing Blast, I add my Charisma modifier to each beam.
Ah,
dang.
Dang, now let me find a 10 up in here. There we go. Ready, and roll 10. And that is, I'm gonna have to bring it closer so I can actually read it. Oh, it's only a 2, and now I'm gonna roll for my second beam, and it's same again, but I can add my Charisma, so 5, so 7 on each. 7.
Great. So 14 in total.
And I'm aiming for, let's say, the cannon, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah. It seemed to be like raising its cannon arm, but it goes bwah, like knocked back.
Mm.
And see a bit of plating kind of go. And it smashes into a cabinet.
Is it the monkey butt coin cabinet?
Yes.
I scoop up the monkey butt coin.
Good. Fine.
You're going to use your combat turn.
In for a penny, literally.
It is actually your turn, Corazon.
Okay. I would like to examine this robot, see if it has any obvious like control panels or things that
buttons
or like circuitry that I could maybe mess with.
Interesting. All right. Make me a wisdom perception check.
That's a 9.
Okay, you don't see any obvious weak spots, but sort of seeing the cannon kind of go off to one side, you're like, meh, I guess if we plug that thing, it might explode.
Plug that thing, interesting. Is there any, I cast my eyes around the room looking for something around the size of the cannon aperture.
Okay.
Ooh, what is that?
Not the recorder.
We're on the recorder.
It's a bit skinny, isn't it? What's Dob thinking of? Your friend in the cupboard.
I know what Dob's thinking of.
Dob doesn't canonically know what Dob's thinking
we
of.
Don't canonically know about that.
Oh.
Talk about your orb.
Oh, that sounds off my orb.
Well, we don't know about your orb, that's why I'm...
All right, fine, good.
Don't you think something awesome would happen if the orb blew up inside a cannon?
I want to study it later.
Awesome in the biblical sense.
Yeah.
Awesome and terrifying.
At all time.
So anyway, I'm like, it's got to be something in here. This place is full of... Is there like a spherical coin from the sphere people of sphere land?
Yeah.
I'm saying this all out loud. If anyone had a sphere, it would really...
I'm sitting on it.
I did mention
on
it before. It's going to hurt you to part with this thing, but I mentioned that there is a golden melon.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah. That's right. I, let me just think back. Oh, wait, there was a golden melon. Yeah, that's right. There's a golden melon. Where is the golden melon in relation to me?
It is on the floor because you smashed a whole cabinet with your
cool
your plate smashy smash thing.
Yes. Right. Well, I don't want to get too close to this thing, so I'm going to mage hand that melon right down the
slam dunk it
cannon.
Down okay. The cannon.
Yeah. All right. Let's dex sleight of hand this, I guess, to use the mage hand okay. effectively. Can beat a 10.
That's 15 plus 4. Whoa. 19.
Yeah.
So I do a big windmill dunk with my magic hand.
Yeah, great. It's like as it sort of is bringing its arm back to bear, it's kind of sort of and there's like a golden melon in it now.
Nice.
I use my Panier says from downtown.
Good shot. I didn't factor in Panier. He rolled. Okay-ly.
I use my bonus action to do a cool shoulder roll into a hiding spot.
Nice. Okay, you are now hidden. Egbert, we go to you. Victor is menacing you with a rapier.
Okay.
And he looks hurt and furious.
Okay. I'm going to keep ponking him with my mace until he turns into a chicken. So.
Why are you trying to kill this nice okay. old man?
So I can hit him twice again, can't I?
Yeah.
Or can you attempt to hit him twice.
14 is his AC. Why?
Right. I'm in now.
He is in now.
He is in now.
He's seen too much.
That's 13 plus, is it strength?
Yeah.
Plus 4.
Yeah, that's a hit.
Cool.
Roll a d6.
Roll a d6. Come on, chicken. 3.
Oh.
Unbelievable.
He does not turn into a chicken. Just roll me your wounds. Damage.
D8. 5.
Plus your strength modifier.
Plus strength, plus 4 is 9.
Okay. You have brought his hit points down to 0. Do you want to kill him or are you knocking him out?
I'm just going to knock him out.
Okay. Then, yeah, you knock him the hell out.
Cool.
You just like, turn into a chicken! Bung! And he's kind of, like, he just...
turn into
Oh, he's stopped.
Now that he's knocked out, I'm going to just tap him very gently. Aww. Until he turns into a gosh darn chicken. Or whatever else.
Roll me a d6 until you get a 6, I guess. See how long that
5.
Takes. This'll keep him busy.
1. 1. 1. 5.
1. This cursed mace is defensive.
Like and subscribe 1. If you enjoyed this, everyone.
4. Different.
That might increase.
5. 3.
So, could
4. 2.
You can't stop. This is why we just have an animated okay. series on Amazon.
5. I'm not joking. I'm more emotionally invested in 2. This than I have been in anything else we've done.
You are running a 5. Set of D6, right?
You're not.
Please come to our upcoming 6. Live show.
Yes! What has he turned into?
A seal!
Yeah!
There's an unconscious seal on the floor of the office now.
I scoop him up under my arm and kick the door open, feeling pretty pleased about myself.
Taking the seal?
Do you want to deactivate maybe?
And did that count as like one turn?
Yeah, that was one combat round. You get like, it's kind of slightly end of whiplash. He was really, really hitting repeatedly yeah. with the mace.
I've forgotten about the acid because I'm so excited to have a pet seal.
I don't think he really told you about it. He just slapped a button on the wall.
Okay.
And yeah, he's like, there's been a disturbance.
You just assumed that we're handling it.
Yeah.
That would have been Victor's go, but he is unconscious and a seal. So we're going to
see. Can I cure wounds on him?
Yeah.
I'll take his turn and I'm going to cure wounds so he becomes an awake seal at least.
Oh. Yeah, it's okay. You hear some like outrage snuffling, and it's like brr.
I'm like
shh.
Hit him again. I'm like shh because you know I could have eaten you.
What?
Like you ate that chicken. Exactly. So be thankful. Come on, seal gaming. We're going.
Seal. I'm with you.
Did you already have inspiration?
Yes, I did, actually.
Because, okay. Oh boy. So yeah, you're just running around with Seal Gaiman now.
Okay.
That's canon, that's his name.
Cool.
Ellen.
Right, well, I would like to try a new little thing I learned called poison spray.
What? How are you going to poison a robot?
Let's find out.
I'm just hoping that like the acidicness of it
poison. Should I just give a ruby?
You cannot poison a robot.
I think you should try. Maybe this will be the first time ever. Maybe it's a human pretending to be a robot.
Okay, I'm gonna go moonbeam.
If God thinks it's a good idea,
can't be a good idea. You're all gonna feel dumb when it turns out to be a human who's allergic to poison spray.
When it turns out to be old man Marley from the Invisible
Man. I'm gonna.
That would have gotten away with it if you kids hadn't sprayed poison spray.
Okay. So if you do sprays poison in the face.
So yeah, I'm gonna call down this silvery beam of pale light.
Cool.
It's all full of moon energy from my circle of the moon buds.
Okay.
By the light, by the light, the silvery moon, the silvery moon.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. Cool. Carry on.
No, you wait! Cast, wait, no,
you cast no. Moonbeam.
I suddenly remembered. Everyone run!
So you see Marowyn kind of like sort of like gear up and then go like and a 5 foot radius, 40 foot high cylinder of pale light appears. With the automaton at its center.
Wow, yeah. Good thing I didn't get close to that automaton.
Okay. Everyone grab hold of a wall, I guess?
It doesn't come into effect until the start of the automaton's turn, according to the spell.
Okay.
So I'm going to be kind.
Okay.
And say that that is also true for the ceiling.
Okay.
All right.
Didn't think about how tall it was.
Okay. Oh, and the ceiling is what, 50 foot high?
Oh no.
How tall is the ceiling, Johnny?
It's probably about 30 foot.
Oh no.
Right.
It's Panias' go.
So this is, this is going to shatter the ceiling, is what you're saying.
And the floor, presumably, under us.
The floor's not glass, it's stone.
Oh, okay, cool.
Panias doesn't know what moonbeam is. He draws his cutlass and runs at the automaton.
God bless you, Panniers.
He actually hits it.
Well, that's good. Nice one, Panniers.
And he does 8 damage to it, in fairness.
Making those memories.
And he's like,
I take a real good look at Panniers. I fix him in my mind.
And then,
this is how I'll remember Panniers.
He does not pass his constitution saving throw. Could I have a... I'll tell you what's wrong this twice. No, it's all right, I got it. Panniers takes...
How are we going to sell the whale?
Panniers, in fairness, only takes 7 points of radiant damage, but he goes like... and screams. And that's Panniers' go. Dob, what are you doing?
Man, I mean, you know, there was a plan, but the... Okay, all right. Okay, so I look around by the light of the silvery moon, and I think, okay, things are getting pretty moon energy in here. And I look up at the ceiling. Can I cast calm emotions on the ceiling? All right, so...
Mending. Preemptively.
Preemptively mending. I don't think there's a thing in this thing. Okay, all right, so I do know Moonbeam.
Yes,
because
you
I've
are
seen
familiar
before.
With Moonbeam.
So I know that any moment the ceiling is about to...
You have put two and two together right. And the answer is acid.
Is there any way you can get us all out of this room? Because the door's open now.
All right, the door's open.
But it's happening at the start of the automaton's turn.
Yeah,
and that's the next turn.
Next go.
Right.
Yeah. So Dob has this turn
to save everyone.
To get everyone out of the room.
Maybe, in one go.
Maybe.
And the way it's going to happen.
And how are you going to do that?
Couldn't be simpler. Skeletons.
Oh my gosh! Oh my gosh!
I love it!
All right.
60 skeletons and one flaming skull all burst up from the floor like, we are Ethel Fritter. Hey, boss.
Skeletons, we can talk about your fee later, I guess. Or, I mean, just do what you feel. But please pick up my friends and without harming them in any bodily way, and also don't pick up the automaton.
Or emotional way.
Or emotionally. Or if you hurt them emotionally at this point, I'm okay. and just like remove them from this room.
Okay. We discuss fee later.
Yeah.
You are scooped up. You're not. Do I? So hang on, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Probably one of the guests.
Probably the sleeping
curator
man as well,
dude,
right?
Yeah.
Probably the cupboard door isn't acid proof, right?
No. Okay, so that is 10 skeletons to a person, and we'll just say the flaming skull, like being their foreman, is like, come on, push Daisy Maxi to it, grab adventurers, let's go. They kind of just like. They leg it out of the room.
Cool.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Are you leaving the room?
I thought maybe I could do something to like try and hold off the automaton, but it feels redundant.
Yeah.
Yeah. I leave the room also.
Okay. So you are all like swept up by like a tidal wave of skeletons who sort of crowd surf. You're like, like they just run, and you form like you're basically riding atop a skeleton train. And they're like, just like hoons it out of.
What
the
a
room.
Day.
Are you doing anything?
Rich for day.
I shout to Panniers, Panniers, man, we got to get out of here. And then he's right by the automaton, right?
Yeah,
okay. And then I leave. Okay. Because.
Yo, dude, that looks like a sticky situation. Bye.
Oh, yeah, because obviously he can't do anything. All right. Can I try and rescue Panniers?
You can try.
Pretty close to that automaton, though.
What if,
presumably.
You've got to get yourself out of there. What if,
he's going to hold the automaton up.
Panniers is functionally immortal until we break the curse. He's not going to die.
Love it.
No, okay. But he might be a puddle when he comes back.
I run out of the room.
Okay.
Looking at Panniers and thinking,
how are you going to explain this to the whale?
This particular death is going to hurt.
Okay. So, it's the start of the automaton's turn. It kind of like goes as it takes 8 points of radiant damage. And then the ceiling above it shatters. Basically, a perfect circle of glass just falls down, and a torrent of acid just hits, engulfing him and also Panniers. And there's just this horrible like hissing noise.
Oh.
Dot, please make me. We're out of combat now. Because I don't think the automaton's going to survive that. Make me an athletics saving throw. So it'd be dex.
18 plus 11.
Oh. Wow. Okay.
You can't win out of the room, right?
You're absolutely fine.
Cool.
The acid does not catch up with you. And indeed, all of you, including this absolutely irate seal. Carrie, the skeletons do not stop. Like, their order was out of here, so they're like... Bonk, and you're all just like... You're all deposited on the deck of the Joyful Damnation. Ooh. The skeletons are like... Well, it's kind of easy, actually, boss.
Cool, okay. Right, then.
Oh, I forgot to mention. The toll was, because he specified that he didn't mind about any of you being emotionally hurt. They just said really horrible, cruel things to you as they were carrying you.
Oh.
And you're all of you now quite upset. Because it turns out they really know how to cut to the quick. They're just like, your father secretly still wishes that he had had you killed.
That's true. That's so true.
You don't know how they know all this stuff, but it hurts.
Wow.
I assume I'm just following this skeleton train with my seal, feeding the seal bonobons.
Yeah, it's like, oof. So you're all now on the deck of the Joyful Damnation, kind of all just standing around. One skeleton walks forward in particular and sort of turns and looks at you and goes,
well, Percival, I can't say it's been much fun hanging out recently.
Oh.
mistakes were made, certainly.
You could say that. However, you have the coin.
I do, I do. It's safe in my tummy.
I won't ask. But if you could do me a favour once you've retrieved the coin.
Sure, what is it, pick you up from the airport?
No, I mean, I would very much like to come with you as we break the curse. Oh, but,
okay.
Could you wait a while I grow some things back?
Sure, sure. I mean, I don't know how the process works.
It's going to take a lot of krill.
Yeah, I can imagine. Really, but pack that krill on.
I reckon you give me a couple of months and I'll be ship-shape again.
All right.
And then we can lift this curse once and for all.
Yeah, man, sounds good.
Great.
Excited.
If you'll excuse me, it's been a long day. I'd like to get back inside my whale.
Yeah, probably best. Probably worrying about you.
Grand.
I mean, it's not going to stop worrying.
When it
sees Panias as a skeleton.
Oh, actually, maybe leave it about 10 minutes before you set off.
And then he walks over to the little merchant's, the little fisherman's boat, and he starts to pilot it out. And as he sort of turns and like gives a bony wave, you remember, like, you don't have the sea chart to go back out again.
Oh yeah.
So Panias drives his boat straight into the nearest mine.
No!
And sets off a chain reaction where it's just like boom, 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 boom. And like in a ring, the entire circle of defenses just goes
God bless you, Panias.
Some people have come out with drinks in their hands and they're like, they're politely
very
applauding.
Droll, very droll.
Although you hear some screams from people who are clearly caught in the tidal wave of acid. Not like fatally or anything. Oh. Just an incidental background detail. And so, yeah, it's kind of, as the, I guess the camera sort of pulls back out, you're sort of watching the sun start to dip below the horizon as lots of sort of debris. You think you see a skeleton sort of being held together, sort of plops into the ocean. A whale kind of breaches. And you're all like, all right. Yeah. But he kind of, everyone looks to Corazon, who I think, yeah, it's safe to say has shown a new side of himself in this particular adventure, who is just like patting his tummy with the cursed coin within, and a seal roars.
So how was your afternoon, Egbert?
I got a new mace and a pet seal.
Brilliant.
And that's the story of how Egbert got a new mace and a pet seal.
Hooray! Thank you so much, everyone, for watching this latest D&D Oxventure. Thank you to Johnny Chiodini, our wonderful Dungeon Master. Do please go over to Dicebreaker, check out their YouTube channel, subscribe, check out the website, read some articles, find some cool recommendations for tabletop games that you can play. Loads of great stuff on the channel and the site, so we heartily recommend that you check out Dicebreaker. But from all of us, thank you so much for watching, and we will see you next time.
Okay, they're no longer spoilers, so weapons free. That was Exhibition Impossible Part 3, the finale, and boy, what a lot of things happen. Things happen
loads
and then other
things
happen. I had forgotten that there are two separate alarms that are tripped, and we avert one only for the second.
To blunder
to
directly
really
into the second
up.
One. Yeah,
yeah. Which is amazing. There's that sort of that bit where Luke says, okay, we've saved the day because we don't know what Egbert has done simultaneously across the way.
Yes. I also, this is genuinely, like, the biggest amount of peril I felt like the Oxventures have been in. Because
it's pretty perilous.
As soon as you come up against a problem in D&D, you end up trying to immediately think of a solution. And quite often there is, like, a fairly clear one or, like, multiple solutions and stuff. But really, there were a bunch of people in a room with a load of acid about to fall on their heads in, like, you know, a very short space of time. And I honestly couldn't think of a route out of it. So I'm glad that
Someone else did.
Yeah, I'm glad that someone... Well, I wasn't even there, but, you know, it seemed dangerous to me.
It might have just... In another universe, it was just Egbert left. Everyone was killed except Egbert.
It felt the only survivor of the treasury. It really close to that being a possibility. Yeah.
Panias gets fully dissolved in acid again.
Not fully. He's still a skeleton.
Okay, all his flesh. Yeah. All his flesh and soft parts gets dissolved in acid. magic. Poor Panias. Sucks to be Panias. But yeah, a little magical appearance from the skeletons there at the end. It's quite nice.
Yeah. Although we've been told we're not allowed to use them so much anymore, haven't we, really?
Yeah, I can see why.
They're a bit game-breaking.
Deus ex skeletons.
No, skeletons ex machina. Yeah. Skeletons in the machine. Yeah.
We have to fight a robot.
Yeah, security automaton.
Yeah.
It's an automaton when it's in fantasy land.
It's really hard trying to find Adobe stock images for
a medieval fantasy
robot.
Automata. Yeah, funnily enough.
You'll notice I didn't really succeed if you watched the video.
No, it's sort of like an off-brand RoboCop security droid thing.
It's good job, podcasts are an audio medium, isn't it?
Yeah, so just imagine something cool.
Talk about Seal Gaiman. Tell us more.
Seal Gaiman.
What the hell was going through your head?
Yeah, right, explain
yourself.
I'll
tell you what was going through Mr. Dietrich's head. My mace. It just seemed like things had gone south pretty quickly, so Egbert reacted. He didn't necessarily react in the right way, but he was under a lot of pressure and he's bad in a crisis. So he thought he would try and use the mace, not like lethally, but just to try and neutralize the threat of Mr. Dietrich in a mostly humane sort of way. Unfortunately, it took a little bit longer than he expected.
How many dice rolls was it? In your estimation, did we ever count? Because Andy, you edited this.
It was something like 12.
A preposterous number.
Yeah, it was like
it was way more than 12.
It was like a statistically unlikely amount.
What does it mean? Was it some sort of glitch in the matrix that you had to roll a d6 like 20 times to get a 6?
I think so. Yeah, I think. But I mean, obviously, it's possible. But
could it be the simulation failing around us? Could it be that the Matrix was not prepared for Mike's shenanigans?
Well, I did see two identical black cats go past, and I thought,
at the same time,
that's exactly how deja vu manifests in the real world.
And then, do you still have that dice?
Yeah, yeah, it's my
the D6.
Yeah, it's my lucky D6. I still use it today.
Yeah, I use it whenever I'm really trying to not get
to avoid getting a six. But yeah, and then Seal Gaiman came along, and I was just,
and your life's never been the same.
I don't think anyone
changes
has.
You.
I was.
What do you say to the people, and there are many, who say that Seal Gaiman is the worst thing that Egbert's ever done, like the cruelest,
the greatest crime,
darkest crime that he's ever committed.
Answer for your crime.
I would say, look how happy he is when he's got a Scotch egg.
Can you ascribe that to him though?
Yes.
Can you ascribe those feet? He's a seal. He can't talk.
Yeah, but he loves it. Clearly, he makes those happy bomf noises, and you know, I think.
Well, here's the philosophical question: is how much is his inner life determined by the fact he is a seal, and how much is his inner life exactly the same as when he was a fully grown
man?
Well,
we decided canonically that his personality and consciousness it transfers over entirely, which is why.
Whoa.
Which is why it's so horrifying that Dietrich himself turned someone into a chicken and then ate them.
You're saying that because he was cruel, it's fine for you to imprison him forever.
I'm saying I'm being a lot more humane than he was. So therefore,
I feel like over time the biology of being housed inside a seal's brain would alter you as a person, chemically, biologically,
perhaps,
and eventually he'll forget what it was like to be a human,
maybe.
A human man. And then he'll just remember
being
a seal.
And then he'll be free. He'll be liberated.
And then he'll be free and happy.
Ignorance is bliss.
In a philosophically troubling way. Yeah.
So why hasn't Egbert turned him back?
Because he seems happy. I guess at the point when he wants to genuinely be free. Maybe when we get back to the wherever we were.
For example, if he goes bomf.
Yeah.
He goes bomf all the time. Maybe that's him saying, turn me back.
No, not only
Wait. Question. Why has Meryl whenever you speak with animals on Seal Gaiman?
It's a great question. She could if she wanted to. I guess she doesn't care.
You know who else could? Egbert. Maybe they've had long chats. Maybe you don't know.
Just off screen. There's all kinds of like conversations happening
off
screen.
They're having a great
time,
yeah.
Well, I think we're going to have to talk to him soon anyway, because the orb came from his museum. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, maybe we should have a chat about what it actually does and what it is. Yeah, he might be useful.
Yeah. That's a little reference to the most recent... The cliffhanger episode. The cliffhanger episode, for the Orbpocalypse saga, which is coming in May.
Yeah, we'll be returning in May.
I'm excited, actually. It's been quite cool taking a little time off.
I think we'll come back better and stronger and more, refreshed and energised. Yeah.
We'll have new costumes, you know, like when they reboot a franchise. And
will we?
Cooler
oh, God,
costumes.
Do I have to buy another cooler
You're going to have to buy a new hat.
All right.
In the meantime,
they'll all be cool and like black leather and stuff.
Yeah, but in the meantime, there is Blaze in the Dark going on over on Outside Extra. A very good episode recently with Jane and I, where we broke into...
The Astor Gambit.
But yeah, we went to Edvard, my character's hated rival's office, and Jane choked a bunch of people out with her thighs, and then we jumped off the roof. It was good.
Mm-hmm. It's fun. It's fun being non-magical for a change. You don't have to think too hard about spells and whatnot. Mm. Just punch things. Punch
you can
things
do that in D&D. Like I said, it's Egbert's whole deal.
I don't think Prudence could. I don't think Prudence much of a
the power of the drop kick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Reminds me of other That's tabletop stuff. Have. I think. Am I right in thinking that Luke's TTRPG Gravity Rip thing will have gone up on Outside Extra this week as well?
Not yet.
It doesn't go up till this weekend. Ah. So take a look at Outside Extra this weekend. And you might catch a glimpse of Luke's very own TTRPG Gravity Rip, which Mike and Alan and Luke are all playing together. So check that out on Outside Extra. Also check out on store.outsidexbox.com or store.outsideextra.com. You can go there. I'll put a link in the description of this podcast. You can go there to see some very, very, very fine, brand new Blades in the Dark, Oxventure in the Dark merch. Tell me about it, somebody.
We've got a new T-shirt and a poster, both featuring a lovely bit of artwork by Colin Craker, and a pin celebrating Amadeus Astor, my character's hated rival for some reason.
The poster is so good. Barnaby is in the back doing a cheers.
It's not. It's really nice and atmospheric. I love the bit I really like about it is the view of the city of Volusport out the window, because it really sort of, you know, I'm like, I want to go explore that. Colin's art is amazing. We love working with him, and it's very cool. I think it'll look really good as a poster. I might get mine framed when it arrives.
You could sign it for yourself.
I could sign it, immediately dropping the value of it by about £3. Yeah, exactly.
I rotate through RPG costumes, I think, more than I rotate through actual clothes at the moment, because no one cares what I'm wearing IRL anymore.
No, no. It's the...
Well, I've got to judge my facial hair for when we're playing different things. So I need to have a long enough mustache for when we play Blades in the Dark.
How are you going to do it when we're playing D&D again and Blades in the Dark again, and then both of your characters have different facial hairs?
Yeah, it's tough. I don't know.
Do you buy a stick-on mustache?
I do. It's not stick. Well, yeah, it is stick-on, but it's a theatrical grade mustache.
Stick-on makes it sound like a comedy,
like a Groucho Marx outfit.
You've got to use spirit gum. Groucho Marx's one was just makeup.
Really? Did they just draw it on?
Yeah, it's just grease,
get
black
away with
grease
that
paint.
Pre-HD.
Look at a picture of Groucho Marx, and it's just literally paint on his upper lip.
My God, this has changed.
Apparently, he used to use a spirit gum fake mustache, but he was just like, "I'm sick of this. I'm going to paint it on, and if no one notices, I'll just do that for the rest of my career."
I guess 4K hadn't been invented yet, had it?
Thanks for listening to the Oxventure D&D podcast. I think that'll do us for this week.
Yeah.
Dice,
come on back next
dice
week
to meet you,
and it'll be dice to see you again next week in
and
7 days' time.
Hope you have a dice rest
have
of your
a dice
weekend.
Yeah.
It's been very dice. It's been very dice talking to you today.
Yeah. All right. See you then.
Yep.
And thanks so much for listening to this podcast wherever you listen to it. If you subscribe, then that helps. If that's a thing you can do on the podcast platform of your choice.
Yeah.
If you leave a review, that also
Write
helps.
Write us a review, and, please. We read them all.
We'll say goodbye, everyone. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye. Just made me think that the place in France would become Dix.
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 Which is 10 in French, which is a number you can roll.
What does it
mean? Oh my God.